sin against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are what? Therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it was a pretty cool thing if I got a call from our president and he said, I want you to be the ambassador to a country. I think that would be pretty cool. What it means, though, literally is I want you to go to their embassy in their country and I want you to be my representative and I want you to speak on behalf of the United States. Now, what would happen if I was called to be the ambassador to Maputo, Botswana in Africa, and I went there to the embassy, and I got in my office, and I sat there, and I never did anything other than what I wanted to do in the office. I never met with their officials. I never met with the people of Maputo, Botswana. I didn't do any of that. I just kind of took up space in the embassy. Don't you think I'd be getting a call from somebody pretty soon? Saying, what are you doing? You haven't met with one official. You haven't told them anything about our policies. You haven't done, what have you been doing? Well, I've been sitting in my office. I've been a representative. I'm here. If they want to talk to me, here I am. I don't think I'd be an ambassador very long. But God has given us the ministry of being an ambassador. And you personally and I personally am an ambassador to the people who are influential in my circle of influence. That's what I am. If I just go and sit and soak and stay and don't do anything, don't you imagine God is going to want me to give an account for that? And he certainly will. I want you to see also what it says in verse 10 about God's committed. Look again. It says, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him. The Lord called him in a vision. He was a disciple. The word disciple is literally the Greek term Matthias. Or another translation is mathetes. It means a learner, a pupil, one who follows. By the way, we get our word math from this, mathematics. And what it literally means is thinking something through from one situation to another. That's what mathematics is. You have this problem, it has an equal sign, and then it has a blank. How can I figure out what the blank is? I got to know what these other two are. And I got to figure out what their relationships are with each other. And then I can come to the conclusion. In the same way, a disciple is one who is a learner, one who follows through, who not only hears the word, but as James says, is also a doer of the word. One who learns, follows through. Is that us? Are we disciples of Christ? The word discipline even comes from this very word. And we understand that discipline's not easy. We understand that being disciplined takes a lot of hard work. Following Christ is seen by the world as crazy and it doesn't make sense. But there's actually more solid and real stuff about Christ than anything else in this world. Why won't we speak up? Do we truly believe? Do we truly know Jesus? We all need to answer that question. And if we do know Him, and if we are a disciple of Him, then we should be committed to what He's called us to do. There's an old legend that was told many years after Christ's death, that Jesus had gone back to heaven to be seated at the right hand of God, and all the angels there came to Jesus and said, man, what was it like to be around all those people all those years? What was it like to have these disciples who followed along after you, but as soon as you died, they ran away. What was it like? They over and over again asking him questions about what happened. And then they came to the ultimate question. Jesus, what's the plan now? Jesus said, my plan is that I left those disciples the message of the good news. And they are to spread it throughout the world. And one of the angels said, Lord, you know how men are. What if they don't do that? What's plan B? And Jesus said, I don't have a plan B. Still his plan. Still his plan. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, of sharing the good news. So obedience affects those around us. And secondly, obedience puts us in a right relationship with God. You see, Ananias kind of bucked a little bit, but the Lord, in verse 15 says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went. He got up and he went. You see, Ananias, rightfully so, was fearful. He'd heard of Saul's reputation. He knew how many people had already died because they said they were Christians. They were part of the way, and they were followers of Jesus. He was fearful because he knew about Saul's reputation. Maybe he was fearful because of his own skepticism of whether or not, as he even said, this is the same guy, God. How could he change? How could he be different? He's the guy who's been killing Christians, and now you say he's going to become one? I'm kind of skeptical about that, God. He spent time with the disciples in Damascus, the scripture says. He knew that something was going on. Could God really change the heart of a Saul? Could God really change the heart of that person that you wrote in the blank a while ago? Could God really do that? God can do anything. There's no one so far away that God can't reach them. There's no one so hardened towards God that He can't soften their heart. There's no one that is without hope. God can do that. He changed the heart of Saul. In verse 14, look at what it says. I've heard these reports about this man. He's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. And I'm sure Ananias was thinking, and I'm one of them. If I go talk to Saul, I'm probably going to die, God. Don't you know this? Here he is asking a question to God again. Of course God knows this. But God already knew the outcome. Ananias was fearful. God was forceful. For the second time, God says, go. I have a plan. And look at what the plan is. Verse 16 says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name, because he's going to be the one who takes my name to the Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel. It's interesting because Saul becoming Paul would cost Paul his life and lots of pain along the way. And by the way, folks, if God calls you, which I know that He has if you're a Christian, it's not always easy. Following God is not always easy. Now, I know that we'd all like to have that easy button, wouldn't we? Just push that easy button and everything would change. But it's not like that. In fact, when God calls you to do something, it's most often very difficult. I thank God for the easy times, because most of the time it's very difficult. Just like obedience is. It's very difficult. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, my favorite verse in the Bible that I really don't like. That's what it says. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. You know why I don't like that verse? Because I don't like the discipline part. It's painful. I don't like that. How many of y'all like pain? No, let's don't get into that. We don't like to have to work. We don't like to have to do stuff that's uncomfortable to us. We don't like that. I can remember back in junior high, I was on a track team. I was doing high jump and shot put and a bunch of other things. And one of the guys on our 4x4 100 relay team was really sick. He was throwing up. He wasn't going to make it. And coach said, I want you to fill in on that team. And I'm going, I hadn't even practiced with him. I don't know how to get the baton. I don't know how to give it off. He said, you only have to do one. You're going to run the last leg. And I'm going, oh, great. I hope they get me a big lead. And so I thought to myself, man, I wish I had trained for this. And after I finished the race, I really wish I had trained for it. Because running the 400 is the hardest race you can run. I didn't know that as a junior high. I thought, I can run around the track one time, no big deal. Man, I got that baton, and I was hooking it. And I'm telling you, I was burning that track up. And by the time I got to that 200, I was going like, man, this is so easy. I'm so far ahead of those guys. This is... And all of a sudden it hit me. Well, I'm not going to make it to the end. And I started chugging. I started breathing so hard, I didn't think I was going to make it. My heart was exploding, and I was going like, I just got to get to the finish line. You know, I wasn't disciplined for that. I wasn't disciplined to do that. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. It's painful. But afterwards, it brings forth a harvest, the scripture says, of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. You know what you got to do? If you really want to do what God's called you to do, if you really want to be an ambassador for Him, if you really want to speak the truth for Him, you got to train. You got to open up opportunities to talk about God. You got to do it. It's not easy. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes you're going to wonder, why am I doing this? But afterwards, it brings forth a harvest of righteousness and peace. And it's going to blow you away when you realize God just used you to share the best news ever with somebody who needed to hear it. I can tell you the times that God allows me the opportunity to share Jesus with people and they accept Him as their Lord and Savior is the very best thing that could ever happen in my life. Now, grandkids is close to that, but it's not quite there. I can tell you, it's just such a blessing to be able to see someone who is lost accept Jesus Christ, and now they're found. They were blind, but now they see. Saul was blind, but now he sees. If you want to follow God, you must be in a right relationship with Him. And the only way you can be in a right relationship with God is to be obedient. You must trust and obey, just like the song says. I've got to trust you, God, and I've got to obey you. Ananias was fearful. God was forceful. And Saul was faithful. Even from the very beginning, Saul followed through. Jesus had told him, I want you to go to that place, to this address. He gave him this exact place, and I want you to wait there. And he did. And when Ananias came and shared the good news with him of what had happened on that road, and Saul understood that he had met the Lord and he accepted Him, he got up and he was baptized. He knew what he should do. And then the scripture says he began spending time with the other disciples in Damascus. And then he began a walk of faithfulness that will culminate with his own death in Rome. Folks, we always want to paint our own picture, don't we? We always have this idea in our mind of what a great life would be like. And it doesn't always end the way the Christmas show, It's a Wonderful Life, always ends. By the way, I got to tell you, I cry every time I watch it. Every time. But the fact is that it may end up in a very hard situation. But God has still called us to it. And if we are faithful and we'll be obedient, He will use us in His hands. And by the way, that's the only reason you're still alive. Because I know God, and I know God loves you, and He wants His best for you. And His best is already in a place that He's prepared for you. And if you come to know Jesus, wouldn't it be better to just go be with Him? Sure, it would be better for us, but it's not better for Him because we are His ambassadors. And we are to make the plea in His behalf. And we are to go. And we are to tell. Will I be obedient? That's the question. Now, we as parents get kind of mad when our children don't obey us, right? We tell them we want something done. We check on it later. It's not done. What do? Discipline. God's told us to do something. We don't do it. Guess what happens? Discipline. Does God hate us? No, God loves us. Do you hate your children? No, you love them. You want the very best for them. You want them to be able to walk in their room without actually falling over things. You care about them. God cares about you. But not only does He care about you, He cares about every person in your sphere of influence. He cares about them all. He loves them so much. He loves them so much, He paid their price on the cross. Will we be obedient? Father, I come to You this morning, and I thank You for the opportunity, again, to just look into Your Word and see the obedience of a man named Ananias, who is mentioned this once only time in Scripture, but he was obedient to do what You asked him to do. Even though he hedged a little bit at first and wondered why You would ask him to do this, when You said go, he went. Lord, You're calling us to go. The question is will we? There are people all around us that are hurting. They're starving to know the truth. And they probably wonder why they haven't heard it. Why wouldn't somebody tell me about it? Why, if this God is so good and He's so loving and He's so kind and all these kinds of things I've heard about, why won't somebody tell me about it? Lord, help us to not hide in the bushel Your salt and Your light. Why would we do that? Father, help us. Lord, You're calling us to do Your work. You're calling us to go and to tell. I pray, Father, we'll be obedient this morning. If you're here today and God is calling you, you know it. He calls you in your heart. You can hear it in your heart. You know whether you're saved or not. You know if Jesus is living in you. You know if you've trusted Him as your personal Lord and Savior. If you've not done that, there's not a better day. The Scripture says today is the day of salvation. That's the reason you're even here. You may have thought it was because you chose to come, but God's will for you is so much greater than you can even comprehend. And you're here today so that you can hear the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay your sin debt. That if you would receive Him, choose to make Him your Lord and Savior, and trust Him to forgive you, you can have eternal life with Him in heaven. But it begins even now with a new life, a new creation, and a purpose upon your life to go and to tell. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you need to be a part of a church body and you've been looking for a church home, and maybe you feel like this is the place that God might have planted you. We'd love to have you. But again, let me just remind you, we're not trying to find a bunch of people to get on our church roll name. We are looking for brothers and sisters who come alongside us and help us tell this community about Jesus. Whatever it is that God is speaking to your heart this morning, during this time of invitation, as Miss Berta begins to play softly and tenderly, if God is speaking to your heart this morning, maybe it's just that obedience word that you're struggling with. If I could tell you what obedience really is, it's simply saying, God, I'm not on the throne of my life anymore. You are. I've chosen to step down to the true King, to the Master, and I will follow you, Lord. I will be obedient to you, Lord. I will do what you've called me to do, Lord. Whatever it is that God might be speaking to your heart about this morning, that's what this time of invitation is all about. I'll be here at the front if you want to pray with me, if you want to kneel at this altar, if you want to join this church, if you want to give your heart to Christ, I'd love to help you in any way. Let's stand and begin to sing through this hymn of invitation. If God has spoken to you, would you come? Softly and